Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unbelievable catch. Maybe a break with the fan interference. And the Red Sox some way are putting this thing together up 3-1. We've talked a lot about the fan interference last night. Lewis just tweeted a picture out there that might be the most conclusive evidence yet. A fan earlier called up on the show, a listener, and mentioned this picture. We now have it up there. Lou's got it up, and we've all retweeted it. But when you look at it, it does look like the fan, especially the guy in the orange shirt. That would be your Reagan Bush 84 shirt. And he is leaning over, and based on where the wall is, the separation of the body of Mookie Betts from the wall, that one does look like the fan invaded the playing field, yeah, which is really what the crux of what this is all about. But again, without having anything along that
this,
wall, it's impossible.
This is sort of like the ball that Kemp caught in left field.
Yes.
Because I honestly continued to look at it yesterday again afterwards, and I do feel like it's one of those, what color is this dress?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right.
Like, really. Mentally, I'm like, this ball hits the wall. I look at it and say, yes, it does. Then I say, you know what? No, it doesn't hit the wall. Let me watch it again. It's going to go right into his glove. And I watch it and say, yes, it does. The bottom line is Red Sox caught a break, whether you think it was interference or not. Simply because the split second Joe West called interference out, could have very easily just put his hand up for a home run. It would have been a home run.
Right.
So you caught a break.
You know what's embarrassing, though? Because Joe West made that call. That's his job, by the way, to make the call. Some people sit there and say, what was he supposed to do? You make the call, and then now you have the luxury of the video replay. And the video replay did not in any way contradict what Joe West ruled. And what are they all doing? And these are famous, I mean, really credible writers. This is what? Joel Sherman.
So Joel Sherman, I read this and I was amazed. Like, 2018... So the headline is, debacle shows MLB must keep older umps off outfield duty.
Mm.
And he says, he talks about, forget about whether it was interference or a two-run homer. And let's take for granted that West earned the right to work this series based on a formula that includes regular season performance.
So he earned it.
Fine, he earned it. But why, for the biggest games in MLB, still using an antiquated rotation system that puts a heavy set, soon-to-be 66-year-old man in right field?
I say we call Matlock.
Please.
But so I read this, and my first thought was like, this guy is... So Joel Sherman is just saying he shouldn't do his job because he's fat
and
he's old.
Now,
and
he's white.
So
where's that demographic fat, old, right now?
Where's the tolerance here, Joel? Where's the tolerance?
I don't think it's being very
sensitive.
We need
to be tolerant of other people.
But a small
he likes country
sing.
Music.
He can sing, too.
Pipes like that, how can you
I mean, the guy's got a great voice.
I don't know. I
thought he'd have a lower voice when I first heard it.
Honestly, I don't care, but I'm just when I read it, I just was like, huh, I'm surprised.
Excuse me. Lou did the
You can't be fat, you can't be overweight.
Lou did the fat in his eyelids, because you're fat all over if you're fat. The fat in his eyelids prevent him from calling a good game behind home plate the night before?
No,
he
says, he goes on and talks about how he's good behind the dish. And if you want to put him at first, put him at first. He uses the example of at second base, he can't move because he took a freaking fastball off Vasquez off his collarbone.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, this is why the guy shouldn't be out there. But I just find it interesting that, you know.
See, I mean, as
care,
far as like.
I don't care what umpire was out there. I don't care if you're 66 or not. If the guy can call a zone with 98 cutter, split, slider, change, curveball, and he's got one of the best zones you're going to find, then I'm pretty sure we can go out there in the outfield, and he can also see that as well, just as good as any 40-year-old umpire that they're going to put down there.
Out of all the professional sports, like baseball is the one sport where I would say you don't have to be. You want to be an NFL ref and cover the most ground and have the fastest players where the action is going as fast as it is. Like, yeah, okay, I got to case you. NBA running up and down the court constantly. Hockey? Basically, you skate just as much as the pros
do. Yeah, but this is a joke that Joel Sherman is doing this. And it's all
because probably have 17% body fat.
Body fat. I think he has. I think Joe West has a little bit more than maybe 71% body fat. But it's a disgrace that he's doing this. And the only reason that Joel Sherman is doing it is because he did not like the call. He disagreed with the call. He thought the call was the other one. That's what it's all about.
So suddenly, Joe West, regardless of what you think about him, now he's the enemy,
and
right?
And the problem is...
But here's the thing. So why were they booing Mookie Betts? Like, Mookie Betts, who had absolutely, really, in the whole scheme of things, he's just doing
his
job.
Because they're fans.
Right? No, I get it.
They want
Joe
the
West.
Team to win.
But, it's all about laundry, right?
Exactly.
Nice folks from Houston.
Right.
Good old boys from Houston.
I can't understand them. I could never work down there in that Houston market. You take phone calls down there in Houston?
That'd be great.
Could you imagine that?
Last night, it was kind of frustrating. I thought I was watching the Texans play.
What are you talking about?
Good stuff.
But here's the issue I have with Joe West. He's talking about in right field. Well, Lou, first of all, that is a home run, and it goes out of the ballpark pretty quickly, or to that point. Are you telling me that a thinner Joe West or a younger, thinner
younger.
The umpire is going to move into a different position? What's he going to move, 5 feet, 4 feet?
He's probably go 3 feet closer.
Right. He's not going 20 or 30 feet. Here's what they had trouble with it. They had trouble with it. I heard other people do the same thing. Because he waddled as he was coming in from right field to put the headphones on. First of all, he got there with the headphones.
Way.
Second of all, what are we doing? Recreating Bo Derek on the beach in slow motion?
What is this? They talked about at one point, too, that the positioning of the outfielders. I don't know if you've seen it now, the outfield, left field, right field umpires. I am surprised they're closer to the bags than they are. They're
but not, that's the position that Major League Baseball wants.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm wondering if it's like, okay, can you back up another 10? You'll still be able to see that line drive that's between you and the base, and you're going to call fair or foul, you know, and I still think you'll be able to turn around, and you'll be able to, like, stand at the line, you know, and that's what it's for. Because you could say, why aren't they down in the corner? And one of the reasons why, and they said on the telecast last night, was because if you're in the corner and there's a ball hit and it's a home run, now you're looking like straight up and you're trying to figure out if it goes over the pole or not.
That makes sense.
So you're trying to be on the line. So
it's
if
like it's field goal.
Yeah, so if it's a home run, you back up. But that's the other thing. NFL, they stand right there.
Yeah.
And they look straight up.
Right, but they've had problems with it, and they were talking about extending.
They did.
Right.
Yeah.
And they extended.
Yeah. So, but I'm not saying like go all the way to the corner, because a lot of parks, that's in play. But go another 10, 15 feet.
But
back up.
Do you think part of
it... Get closer to the wall for stuff.
But part of it might be that they want to have help at first and third base because there are more plays at first and third than there are in right field or left field. So maybe they want
that's
another...
Not his job.
I understand that, but they all come in and convene. Matter of fact, we've had guys. When they get together, they make a decision. It's based on what another umpire has said.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think that it's... they're far enough away. They're closer to first than they are... I think they should back up personally.
All right. Back to the phone calls. We go. Paulie's in Dedham. Paulie.
Hey, what do you guys say today?
Nothing.
First, before I talk, 2 points on the Sox. First, remember the history lesson I gave you guys a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I love it. I learned a lot.
Don't you love it when Paulie gives us history lessons? I know, Christian, you're a big fan.
Question on Jeopardy last night.
Oh, God.
Stealing my stuff again. They're stealing my stuff. Right. Anyway, two things on the Sox. Number one. Prices, it's sink or swim. It's either roast or rise tonight. He's going to look around, and he starts getting a little bit of a jam, and there's not going to be anybody warming up in the bullpen. He's going to be forced to throw at least 70 pitches tonight, at least 50, up to 70 or so. They're going to want him to go at least half that game, fifth or sixth inning, sink or swim. Let's go, David. You know, let's have it. That's number one. Number two, I watched that play last night. From what I saw, you know, the fan reached there. He reached out. His elbows, it was like from the elbows to the tip of his fingers. Over the line. Absolutely over the line. No question about it.
No, here's a question.
As he just started to back off, when the contact was made.
Yeah.
And it was too late. There was no question in my mind.
Well, the glove stopped him. He made contact with the glove. That's what happened.
Well, whatever. I mean, whatever he made contact with.
Yeah, but Paulie, you're speaking with your heart. You can't tell.
No, no, I did. That.
Oh, okay.
So
oh, you're better than
him. No. Of course, up on it. The guy had his hands out.
Right.
He had to use like a basket.
Yes, just like a basket catch. Exactly.
Again, it doesn't.
Anybody that tells you that they know 100% exactly what happened, are lying to you.
Well, the three guys that are in the front row.
Yes.
Those guys.
All the way. All the guys that had their eyes closed.
Yeah.
That swear they didn't reach
over.
They all had their eyes closed.
I felt something,
look
but
at the
I
picture.
Couldn't see it.
I know I wasn't over.
Yeah. But your eyes
wait,
are
hold
closed.
On. Your eyes are closed the whole time.
Mookie Betts
I could see through my lids.
Yeah. Well, I knew where I was beforehand. I moved exactly 1 foot forward, and I was at least 3 feet behind the line. That was perfect.
sound like the caller in Houston.
Actually, they wouldn't sound like that.
I'm
it would
so
be
glad
a lot
of it
slower.
Matters. It's over. Cares.
The only one that has Homer. His eyes open.
If we can just get through their first ending what? Without letting them get some runs.
What are you talking
he
about?
Like he's
I
from
can't
like
understand you.
Louisiana.
Mookie Betts is the only one with his eyes open in the picture that Lewis yes. tweeted yes. out. It's the only one with his eyes open. Okay. We've got to do this. David Price last night. Anybody watch this? He went on and talked after the game last night. And he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was
though.
Open. He answered questions. He was smiling. He was laughing.
He had a prop.
And you know why? He had a prop.
Yeah.
He
I'll
had
tell
his
you
kid.
Wait, oh,
he had his kid. He had his kid. Xavier, is that the kid's name? Xavier.
Be
sitting
polite.
Right there on his lap.
Xavier Seashell bedtime. 3 hours ago. He was passed out at 11:30. I can't believe he's rocking right now, dude. Too cool.
We got to get the kid out there at all times.
Maybe he
do
could.
Me a favor,
maybe
don't...
he could hold the kid with one arm and pitch with the other, right?
Not a bad idea. Put the kid
I mean,
out there.
I don't know. I
mean, absolutely.
Put some toys down there.
Was
like,
it
like just like
we
were going to do?
Was it
Astro?
Totally different in a press conference?
We ran that. Yeah, we ran that. I believe it was somewhere in the 2 o'clock hour, 2 a.m. hour. We had a post game last night at
prime time.
At NBC Sports Boston post game from 1:15 to 2:15.
What was that on?
You know are you
what?
Kidding
I was
me?
Watching you. I turned the channel and there was like
to
there was nothing. There was nothing
you know,
but infomercials.
Old ladies were all pissed off that there were no infomercials
but,
on
nothing
there.
But infomercials and jewelry you could buy for like you know $10.59.
Give
you order
that
now.
To me again.
I bought a new printer last night. I bought a new printer. I went for my channel, which is 52 to 53, and I was like, oh, there's a printer on sale.
She has an awesome copper cookbook.
Oh my god, yeah.
So you were on
a ninja blender?
So it was right around 1:48 in the morning. We played that one. And my first thought was, this guy should do every post-game interview with his kid.
I loved it.
He's like, it's a real smile.
He's good.
It's you know like what? Really like having fun. Like it was like he was enjoying. Hey. You going to pitch him up? I don't know. We'll see. You know?
Yeah, now he's Vinny Barbarino.
Yeah.
David Price is Vinny Barbarino. When he holds his kid.
Are you pitching tomorrow? When?
Yeah.
Right here. When?
Who?
Tomorrow.
Who?
Astros.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who?
When? It was great.
When?
I never thought I'd like when? A Price little press conference.
Who?
It was awesome last night. With
maybe we just got him. Maybe we're just reading him wrong.
Maybe.
Who?
I'm sure he's a good father. He's a good father.
I'm not talking about him being a dad.
And now that we know his dog who? Is safe and you're not going to steal his dog, that it was only a joke, okay?
It was,
you know,
it's
a good dog.
I'm not even
going to
say
too.
What so, I want to say.
So, go ahead.
You really? A dog's one thing.
What's a 2 week suspension? 617.
They shocked me.
Hey,
7-7.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So Jim Bowden just tweeted this out. Justin Verlander is 4-1 with a 1-2-1 ERA in postseason elimination starts.
Whoa.
David Price. On 3 days rest, has never won a postseason
not
start.
Awesome.
So I tweeted back at him. I said, Jim, this got nothing to do with 3 days rest. Like, David Price on 3 days rest has never won a postseason start. He's never won a postseason start on 5 days rest or 4 days rest
seven,
or 6 days rest
12,
or 10 days rest.
62.
He's never
89.
Won.
He's never won one of those games. But is there any pressure on him tonight?
See,
no,
it's no pressure tonight.
Six innings, two runs.
See, no pressure.
Here's
if he's ever going to do it, you're right, Lou. If he's ever going to do it in a postseason game, because every one other postgame he's performed in, there's been pressure. In this one, if he loses, guys are going to be fine. We get tomorrow. We get Saturday. We get Sunday. We're good.
Cutter changeup monster
woo!
Tonight. Monster.
With Xavier by his side.
I mean, I'm not angry. I'm just upset that it's a situation that I don't like the implication that we were doing something that they were checking on when they were actually, don't forget, they're the ones that created a false credential or asked for a credential of somebody that's not supposed to have one. So baseball, I mean, the person is not an employee of Houston Astros, and that person's not supposed to have been a credentialed person in that box. I know that for a fact. So it's a bad thing to put it upon our lap.
Dave Dombrowski, and
yes.
I don't blame him. He's talking about this whole cheating thing
yep.
and the Kyle MacLachlan with the camera and whatever. Shame on Rob Banford, because that's the way he's allowing the narrative to be presented, and that is that, oh, the only thing Houston was doing is they were checking on other people to see if they were cheating, you know? Vigilante, as you said yesterday. Yeah. We'll take care of justice here. Now with the police department, we need to do it. But shame on Rob Manfred. He wants to just bury this thing. And I heard Bradfoe talking about this last night. He said he talked to people within Major League Baseball who said, this is a big, huge deal. The Major League Baseball is hiding this, but it's a real problem because everybody's doing it.
I don't think that teams around the league are very happy with the way Manfred handled this situation. Because I think that he's apparently going to come out strong against this sort of stuff, almost as a warning. And now a thorough investigation didn't even last 24 hours.
Ridiculous.
We're a game of
rules. They did nothing wrong. If nothing else, like Dombrowski just said, the guy shouldn't have been there. You know, I mean, just saying they did nothing wrong. So I don't think that, and I think other organizations and other people have spoken, I don't forget who it was Buster or somebody, that they weren't happy that he just sort of brushed this off because apparently, you know, he's tried to, you know, send a serious message against this kind of stuff. And just meanwhile, it happened. He said, whatever, no big deal.
Well, I mean, if they're doing the same thing to the Indians, well, the Indians should, I guess, you know, cause a stink then.
Yeah, but they can't if the commissioner's sitting there going, we're going to bury it. That's all he's doing here, Christian. He's burying it. You could say all you want about the commissioner of the National Football League, but when he took over, he sent out memos, and that was the reason that the Patriots got slapped here.
We have
for
high
spy
standards in the NFL.
You're exactly. For Spygate, because he was sending out memos that we're not going to have the camera on the sideline. And Bill was arrogant, and Bill said, screw you. I've done this before. Tagliere, Bill used to send these memos out all the time.
Mangini's not going to do anything about
please,
it.
Please, I'm going to
play. He'll never squeal on me.
And at least he protected the other franchises and said, well, we're gonna put the Patriots on notice here. This guy's not doing that. What Manfred is doing is he wants to bury this thing as quickly as possible. They've been getting good television ratings for baseball, and he's sitting there going, we're riding high right now. We took a couple of bumps, and I'm not going to let a scandal get in the way. He's wrong here. And and Dombrowski, you can hear by the tone of his voice, Dombrowski's sitting there going, wait a minute. Now we're going to have to be the fall guy?
Yeah, you got to defend, I guess, like your practices and the way you do your business, because these guys were breaking the rules because they thought we were breaking the rules. But, I mean, to me, it's just a vicious cycle, which is just Major League Baseball anyways. But so this guy's got the balls to sit up there in plain view, right? Like nothing. And he's affiliated to the Astros.
Friend of the owner.
And his friend, but doesn't have the right credentials. But he just kind of goes, maybe just everybody knows who he is. And he's literally standing up, taking photos. And he's clearly not a fan. Well, you don't wear a suit like that and sitting right down there by the bullpen.
Well, I think it's even,
it just doesn't look right.
But I think it's even better in that it sounds to me like Francona was the one that tipped off Cora. And Cora obviously knew who this guy was. He worked in that organization a year ago. I know Lou said that maybe Hinch doesn't know. I find that hard to believe that Cora doesn't know and that A.J. Hinch doesn't know. And they're all trying to hide this whole little game that's going back and forth. They're all doing it, I'm sure. They're all trying to get that edge. And the commissioner just sits there after he, as Lou just said, after he told everybody, we're not going to allow this anymore. We're going to take care of this. And then when you actually have it exposed, you sit there and allow the Houston Astros to write it off as, no, we were just trying to check on the Red Sox to see if they were cheating.
Playing defense. Awful.
Playing defense, right. That's full of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're full of it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
There you go.
All right, good point.
Scandal's going to go away. But it's a scandal's going to go away, right? It's going to go away. It's not going to be a big deal. It's done. Would you say it's done?
I think it will. But I think Dombrowski at one point, too, said that, you know, as far as he heard, the investigation wasn't over. So maybe this is one of those, like, publicly it's over with. Make it go away. It's ALCS. We got the World Series coming up. Boom, whatever. And all of a sudden, November 20, whatever, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you know, they come out and they say that they have fined the Houston Astros organization of taking $1 million from international signing bonus money. Who knows?
So there's that. And so if you want to, like, so that's the way the Major League Baseball looks at it. So, Ryan, show me where you got this. There's a, I guess there.
I found this.
Vigilante, right?
Right. So when I was digging through what Houston was saying about this game.
We were doing our own investigative reporting.
I'm a vigilante also.
Yes, we were.
I found a fan that's getting a lot of play down there who was taping a Matt Barnes pitching in game two.
Yeah.
And was very unhappy that Matt Barnes might have been using a foreign substance.
Pine tar. Thought he was using pine tar. Let's hear it.
All right, guys, watch this. Left forearm. See, he grabbed it right there?
Yeah.
This pitcher's cheating. He's got pine tar on his left forearm.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, watch this. Watch how he grabs his left forearm.
Stick his
spray. Pine tar on it. It's shiny. Right there, see how shiny it is? He's grabbing it. See? He's going to throw another breaking ball. Okay. Watch, he's going to grab that forearm again. Acts like he's touching his belt buckle. Watch, here he goes. Watch, he's going to grab that forearm. See? Grab that forearm. I know it's a long video, but I don't want y'all to see. Cheating son of a bitch. Okay, grab that.
I love that line. Cheating some bitch.
Yes, that's
it's not pine tar. It's not brown. It's just
okay, watch. He's going to grab that forearm again. Here we go.
Yeah. Spray.
Right.
Stick the spray.
No, I'm not going to
spray.
It's right there.
Yep.
Shiny that left arm.
Cheating okay. some
watch
bitch.
Watch him grab that forearm. Mm-hmm. See? There he goes. He's grabbing it.
Yep.
Now he's touching the ball.
Yep.
Cheating son of a bitch.
That's a 2-minute time lapse, by the way. He sat there for over 2.5 minutes trying
that's
to find
beautiful.
It. So we're all doing.
And that's what the whole videotaping
Sticky
is.
Spray.
They're all doing the same stuff. So if he ends up going out there and finding everybody, he's gonna open up a can of worms. Have to find everybody because that's what it is.
Stupid.
That's why they don't do it.
It's all stupid. Here's Billy in Taunton. Hi, Billy.
Hi, hey guys. I just noticed something on the when I was watching. I would notice the guy with the white shirt during the interference call.
Yeah.
There was a guy with the white shirt. He was sick. He was coming from like 10, 15 far away from his seat. He was like
speaking
over people, and he was sticking out, and he was so blatant. I thought that's what Joe West saw, and he's like, "Whoa, that guy's like looks like he's falling off."
Yeah.
I thought that's why he called it.
I think so. I think that's the guy.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why he called it right away, because looked like he was going to fall off for a second. He had his hands on there, all extended and stuff.
Billy,
and then,
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
I think that's the guy. I think so.
I think he had nothing to do with it.
I'm not sure Joe West saw any of that in like seconds. I think he just made the call, and you're lucky he did.
He saw just the hands and the distraction.
He saw fans out there.
He saw Mookie hitting it out, hitting a guy, a fan, and he said he leaned over.
What are you going to do if you're sitting out there? You're going to let the ball hit you in the chest? Are you going to actually either, one, defend yourself so he doesn't get hit right in the face, or are you going to try and catch it?
You put your hands up like,
and you close your eyes.
Lean back.
That's the best part about it is the still shots of the people in the stands.
I mean,
not an athlete amongst them.
Kate
not
Upton,
one guy.
Kate Upton apparently had her opinion.
Oh, she was.
Kate
she
Upton was
not
chirping.
Happy.
She was chirping. She was not happy. But did you see this one tweet? I thought it was pretty funny.
No.
Because she threw out there was a home run, and then she threw out the whole like the Major League Baseball wants Red Sox, Houston. I mean, Dodgers.
Think it's a laundry issue for her.
I would think. Yeah, I would say so. I was going to tweet her back and tell her Blake Snell was going to win the Cy Young, but I thought I'd leave it alone. She says, "I feel the need to acknowledge and address the amount of people who have called me quote princess, quote honey, or quote terrible girl." Sports
terrible
fan.
Girl, that's it.
Just because I have an opinion on the call doesn't give you the right to degrade and be disrespectful because I'm a woman.
Hold on.
So
that's all they're calling her on Twitter?
I told her, I'm like, I had people call me a-hole, you name it, every F this, you F in this, and those are my good friends.
Sweetheart, let me just answer you.
If she's on Twitter and people are calling her princess, honey, and terrible girl?
Well, first of all, I get what they're doing. They're trying to.
You're on Twitter.
Exactly. Kate, you're on Twitter.
Jesus, come on.
And if you.
What do you expect?
They have every right. That's the thing. You don't have to like it, but they have absolutely every right to say whatever the hell they want.
Is she.
Son of a bitch.
Is she serious about that? That is a big deal on Twitter? I mean, didn't we not have Bob Kraft call me sweetheart on the radio?
Sweetheart, let me just answer you.
Yeah, and you weren't happy about that either.
I was very offended.
Upset about that.
Very
just having
offended.
A normal conversation.
He did not call me princess. If he did, I was coming over the
table.
You
know, here's the thing. The whole, like, the girlfriend / wife / sister, who kind of chirps and chimes in on the brother / husband, whatever.
At Horford.
Yeah, exactly. I just... If I'm any of those guys, I'm like, can you please just
stay
not
up.
Say anything?
No, hello, everyone.
Hi.
You're only going to make it worse.
Leave them alone.
Stay out of it.
Put your phone down. I don't need your help.
Exactly.
Unless you're going to do some like slow striptease or something like that.
Then I need your help.
You
know what fans were doing? Did you see the shot of the two of them, Verlander and Kate, in front of the mirror, and there was a picture. You saw them. They're both nude. You haven't seen that yet?
Oh, I've seen that picture.
People were tweeting out that picture last night.
Oh, God. Didn't those pictures get stolen from
her?
Yes, they got stolen from her.
You know, someone that enters like that sports sort of venue and gives an opinion, and they're amazed at the comments they get back. I can't believe how rude people are and degrading. And it's like, oh, Jesus.
It's kind of the way
Welcome
it is.
To
the
it's Twitter.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know what the do you know what these notifications look like? Listen, I tweeted out that I was going to do a Facebook Live thing with Tony Maz. Do you know what people say about him? Like, following? I mean, it's just like what they say about me on a daily basis.
Well,
like,
it's
a lot worse than Princess and Honey.
You should actually.
I can tell you that.
I feel like Twitter should have an option, right? Like, do you want to, like, play in, like, the kiddie pool?
Oh, that's good.
Okay. And kiddie then there
pool,
were.
With the everybody's. No, you can't call it the adult. What are you going to call it?
The kiddie pool. Or the adult pool. Why am I can't call it the adult? It's where adults should go and. Or whatever. You call it whatever you want. But
safe,
the kiddie pool.
Safe and unsafe. How about that?
Yeah.
Safe and unsafe Twitter.
Sure. Yeah. And so that way, nobody's insulting you. No, everybody's congratulating you, Patty. Because call it the pat on the back syndrome, whatever you want to call it.
So where will you play tonight? Because you're manning the WEEI Twitter account.
I'm gonna play in the safe
or unsafe
boy
tonight.
Pool.
Ooh, big
unsafe.
Boy.
Yeah.
Big boy pool.
They're already giving me everybody's running in here trying to tell me to be careful. I can't show the TV. I can't show TBS. Because
it's like what they do to Kirk.
Fees.
They're trying to do that. What
they're
trying
to hold
Kirk.
Me down.
They're trying to do
can't
what they
do
down. To Kirk to you right now.
I've been suspended.
Don't let it happen, Princess. I'm telling you, do not allow it to happen. Rich is in Connecticut. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing
much. Nate Upton can say whatever she wants. Doesn't mean she should, though.
Right.
Okay.
I've been a Yankee fan my whole life. Met Don Mattingly when I was a kid. Okay. Love the Yankees. Okay. Diehard fan. Hate the Red Sox. All that good stuff. I got to say, that play by Mookie... he would have absolutely caught that ball. It was one of the best plays I saw all year.
Wow.
That was definitely the right call. And regardless of fan interference, whatever, he would have caught that ball.
Good. I tell you what, Yankee fans after that last series, they've lost their mind. Imagine that. He's agreeing with a call. Red Sox.
I mean, it's the thing. It wasn't,
Red Sox
it
got
wasn't,
a break, and he's sitting
it
here.
It wasn't the greatest
Yankee
play
fan?
Because it wasn't finished.
Is this cool or what?
If it was finished and he caught it, then yeah, I'll give it to you. It looked great. Blow that sucker up, put it on your wall.
All right, 617-779-7937. Our phone number right here on OMF.
Kimbrel deals, Bregman in the air, left field. Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch. Oh, what a play! Game saver, Andrew Benintendi. The Red Sox win on a spectacular catch by Benintendi in left field. Wow, what a game. What a finish.
Unbelievable game, unbelievable game. Finish. And that's what it sounds like when a broadcaster game. Does not fall out of his chair.
I like it when they fall out.
I do, too. I think it's more fun.
Red Sox win. Okay,
Joe. All right, Joe. Unbelievable. When you look at it, there were so many things that you sit here and say to yourself, how the hell's the first inning? You're looking at Rick Porcello. You feeling good about the game?
Nope.
Oh, no. As the game progresses on, you suddenly look at it and say, we're still not getting enough out of J.D. You're not getting enough out of Mookie. Okay, he would be eighth and the ninth inning, and Kimbrel is now out there for six outs. Anybody feel good?
Nope.
He should not be that much of a question mark. I mean, you talk about there's something wrong with Chris Sale.
He's not the same.
David Price. Okay, if it's not physical, then we need to start talking about him as being in the same category as David Price. Because in these big moments, I know he's getting out of it and they're winning, but they have leads. But it's almost like he's just lucking into it.
He's lucking into it.
It's like it can't be that
way. That's
the
best way of
saying it. Well, I mean, I'm trying to be as polite as possible.
He
like, you can't do this.
So inconsistent. Because last night, obviously, I've been watching it for a while now because it annoys me. Like when he comes set and he looks at third base, when he lifts his leg and he looks at the mound. You know what I mean? I feel like he's locked in. And then the very next pitch, he'll look at third, he'll lift his leg, and then he'll start to throw. And as he's starting to throw, he'll spin his head and look at the catcher. Like, it's so inconsistent. And that's why maybe he is, because he's not repeating a damn thing.
Why can't they fix
well,
this?
But that
no,
wasn't
but they
the
do.
Case.
They know. They talk to him about it. This is one of the big adjustments they've made with him. But he's in the moment, and the fans are going nuts. And he's just sort of like speeding things up or whatever. But I'm telling you, his head looking at the catcher is inconsistent. One time you'll be like, oh, there it is. He looked real early. Then the next time he won't look till late. He's not being able to repeat it. And because of it, he's all over the zone.
See, there's a thing with him, like with a closer that's supposed to have the biggest stones. And you would think that he would be able to handle the greatest or the toughest circumstances. There's too much of like a sigh of relief when there's an out.
I think you're right.
It's almost like he didn't expect it. He wasn't sure if he was capable of doing it. And there's like, oh, wow, I'm so nervous. Like that to me it doesn't fit with him. And last night was the first time I said, wow, this guy is nervous as hell. He looks like some of those other pitchers that we were talking about in that Yankees series where you're like, well, these guys are nervous. They're scared.
I said last night.
He's scared of failing.
Yeah, I thought they gave him the eighth, given the part of the order. And like when he came in, I'm like, watching the TV, I'm like, can someone tell me if Price is getting up yet? And by the time they came back, he was up. And I was like, Price, give Price the ninth. You know, Kimbrough got out, in the eighth inning, give him the ninth.
He was throwing hard
in
the bullpen.
Don't bring him up.
Boy, I mean, did he leave it? Does he have anything left?
I didn't want him to bring him in the middle of an inning in the ninth inning. If you're going to bring him in at all, give him a clean inning.
Yeah, but Cora wasn't going to do that.
No, he wasn't.
He said after the game, if he gave up two runs, then we were going to see Price in that game. Here's the other one, and I agree with you, Christian, when you're talking about he's almost relieved out there. Has anybody noticed that he's very talkative, Kimbrough is, when the games are over, and he's happy-go-lucky? I mean,
he's a closer.
But he's just gone out there, and he's lucky that he picked up the save and that they won the game.
I know that, but that's not how he looks at it. Like he's the closer, short-term memory. His thought is, I am 4-for-4 in save opportunities. But I still got to figure some things out mechanically. I'll figure them out. We'll get them next time. But my bottom line is, when I've entered four games, we've won all four.
Well, I mean, he's either giving up a run, hitting a batter, or walking someone.
Well, the Patriots winning 31-30 on a last-second field goal. You're like, whatever, we won.
No,
we
I get time that to fix one, it. but that's...
Yeah, but he keeps on doing this, though. This keeps on repeating.
I'm not saying he can, but I'm just talking about the mentality.
It's like Groundhog Day. This is the same game every single day he goes out there.
What if you don't have a lead? Like, you get a two-run, three-run lead? Like, you're kind of like, at that point in time, you really shouldn't be nervous. I would expect him to be even more anxious if he maybe just had one run lead. But it's the opposite.
I never thought I'd say
this. It's weird. He's the one guy
you could
sleep at night with, and he's the one that freaks you out the most.
Yes. Right now, he does. He scares the hell out of me. I mean, you look at Brazier, you look at these other guys. These other guys, you feel far more confident in. Barnes?
Think we should have confidence in Price tonight.
Oh, okay.
I think we should have confidence in Price for the main fact that there should be no pressure on
him.
There is no pressure. There's not. I mean, listen, nobody thinks you can win. You only have 3 days rest. Yeah. You're going against Verlander. His wife's going to be there. Here's what Red Sox fans should do. If any Red Sox fans are out there in Houston, get a big giant poster of Kate Upton. And like they do in NBA games where guys shoot free throws, go right behind home plate.
In Houston?
Hey,
By the way, by the way, talking about the fans out there with Kimbrel, did you guys see that the fans behind home plate were all doing the same?
They're mocking him. They're using both hands, though. Maybe that's what he's focused on. You're making fun of me, Alex. AC, they're making fun of me.
Man, I don't know what the hell. I mean, tonight, I think Price can throw the ball well because I think his problem sometimes is he gets over-amped, puts too much on him, he overthrows, he misses location, cutter's too hard, changeup is ineffective. A tired, fatigued Price, I think his changeup cutter can be monster tonight. It's just that I don't like it because I don't know what's going on with Sale. Maybe they do. I know I would feel a lot better as if they tried to get through this game with an opener, an E-Rod, and maybe you can't do it after last night's game, the guy you use so much. And then have a rested David Price, Nathan Eovaldi, game 6, game 7, with Sale coming out of the bullpen and Porcello coming out of the bullpen. Think about it. Porcello's ready to go game 6 and 7 out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Okay, he will be. Sale, to me, will be. And I don't have to pitch him.
I think Eovaldi's...
How can you rely on him game 6?
No, the only guy you can rely on to give you a starter's game is Eovaldi. The question is, do you have to wait until game 7 to do it? And you probably do based on the fact that, he features.
I've never seen anything like this with Chris Sale.
He's not right.
I'm just saying, since July 27th, we have absolutely no clue what's going on.
But they don't either. Do you think they know?
No. I think they do.
I don't.
10 days. He comes back. He throws 98, strikes out 12, goes back on the DL for a month, comes back for one inning, looks like crap, comes back the next day, doesn't look good for a couple innings, then goes like 3 1/3, and the velocity, it's still not there, then takes a huge step back, then starts game 1, throws the ball harder against the Yankees, looks a little better, comes out of the bullpen, looks like nothing. His last start, he's got a sickness, an illness, he's in the hospital, he can't keep food down, he hadn't thrown a bullpen since, even though he's supposed to the last 2 days. And everyone's like, what are you worried about Sale on Sunday, on Saturday?
Are you kidding me?
What am I not worried about when it comes to Chris Sale?
He's got this tough guy
rep. What am I not worried about?
Yeah.
You still think he's healthy? I don't think his shoulder's healthy. I think he's got an illness. I think he's lost weight. I think he's weak. And you're going to just roll him out there on Saturday?
They're not going to, unless it's a Wade Miley start. They're not, he's not going to.
Wade, what, five pitches?
Yes.
You walk the first batter?
Exactly. He's not giving you anything. You can't depend on him, and I don't think they even have any thought of he's going to be able to pitch for game six or seven.
Have you ever seen a guy that you have no idea what's going on with him the last 2.5 months?
No.
That's how long it's been.
Well, the but I think you're right, though. I think shoulder, there was a, though,
but it is the shoulder. There's something there.
No, the illness is taking over
well,
now,
the illness,
though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So you're wondering, like, does he
so
have
does he come out
sort of
throwing,
a connection?
Does he come out throwing 86?
Well, if that's the case, then he's not. Well, listen, I heard you know Butch Stern saying that he was throwing free and easy.
Yeah, what is that, Butch?
Free and easy. Whatever that means.
What is free?
I guess it's better than, you know.
So what would it look like if he wasn't? Would it be like cranky, like
methodical and
peach bowl?
Would there be like a hitch in his throw or something?
Poor Butch, he's trying to report
easy,
something.
Was the ball coming out of his hand? How'd it look?
Trying to report for Fox 25.
That's free and easy. That was free and easy.
That's a good thing, right? It's like
what did the opposite look like?
Paint a vague picture.
Is he rolling it up there?
Yeah, bowling for dollars.
Free and easy. Don't sell me that he's going to be fine in game six. By the way, don't even try to. There better not be a game six.
Yet, is there anybody out there? They got
Eovaldi.
Right.
Game over. Let's go. Finish this damn thing.
So you're looking at these three games, and you're looking at the bullpen, you're looking at the starters, and you're sitting there going, how the hell are we going to put this together? And yet, is there anybody that's going to bet against them?
No,
that they're
going to
win one of these three? Right. Is there anybody that's going to bet against
them?
Because everything is dropping and falling right in their lap.
Let's pound it today.
Including the interference, fan interference call last night.
Swing it.
Could have gone either way. Okay, but you got Joe West to rule in your favor. The video could not overturn it, and people that are watching that video, they're suddenly saying, "Oh, I see it this way, 100%." They're lying to you. They're lying. There was no way that video could overturn Joe West's call.
Can you imagine John Farrell trying to explain what Sale's going through right now? Well, I put the ball in flight today. Speaking of which, I want to see bat the ball skills tonight from the Red Sox lineup.
What the hell is that?
No, but he would only bat the ball. How would he explain just Chris Sale alone?
He's put the ball in flight.
Okay, but
he would use that term for the last 3 months. Yeah, he put the ball in flight today.
Bat the ball skills.
Yeah, he put the ball in flight today.
I will say this
though. What a difference.
That Alex Cora, there have been very few things that he has done wrong. Yet there are times you sit there and say, "How the hell is it?
Luck,
it
right?
Worked.
Luck. How the hell is it working?
A little bit is luck. Let's not act like luck doesn't play a factor.
Luck plays
in this.
A factor in
That's
it.
It's a huge.
There's
factor.
Some luck working. He, by the way, Alex Cora will join us tomorrow on OMF.
Well, it'll be a
flows
on tomorrow.
It could be a celebration.
The boys got to give Cora a little birthday present today because today's his birthday.
That's true. That would be a win.
Yeah. Get to the big dance.
No,
finish
it is not.
Finish this thing off.
That's motivation.
Finish it off. Go 5-0 in a road.
Let's take a couple phone calls. Johnny's in Fall River. Johnny.
Hey, Big O. How's it going?
Hey, Johnny, what is up?
Big O, I'm going to test your memory on this because I don't think no offense to the other two guys. I love Lou to death and Soto and Christian.
But I'm old.
I know you don't remember this one. We're talking about Greg Kimball. Don't you have a little bit of a flashback to back in the late 70s, this Baltimore Oriole pitcher by the name of Don Stanhouse, who was known as Stan the Man Unusual?
No.
Because he would come into a game,
use
a dry barrel weaver to
Yeah, I know. I remember
how about this?
Vaguely,
go Calvin
but
Schiraldi.
I know.
No. How about that?
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
No, it is.
How about way back, but Wasden? Way back, Wasden.
No, but here's the difference, though. Stanhouse would be like 10 for 10 on saves, but every game we'd come in with a 3-run lead, give up 2 home runs, walk the bases loaded, and strike out the side.
Yeah, but he's on borrowed time.
But
Kimbrough's on borrowed time. You can't continue to pitch like this and expect that you're going to pick up the save. You're going to get a blown save eventually. It's got to stop. He can't continue to do this, right? Can't continue to do this.
We'll see.
And here's the other one.
If you keep hitting, you can do anything you want.
Slug.
Well, the thing that has played great for them is they take a lead in every one of these
you'll
games.
Know right, I think if you know right away, if they get runs in that first inning, like
it's
they
over.
Have, like the fast
it's one. Over.
The last, yeah, it is over, yeah.
Because David Price has been so good at holding
and
that
you,
lead.
And you need
yeah, really true, true.
Boy, you talk about a team that
well,
needs.
That game went back and forth last night.
You close
night.
This thing out tonight, and you got Friday, Saturday. Sunday.
You're talking
Monday.
About you. All these days
oh,
off you have?
Oh, yeah, he wants
you're getting
to be
selfish
off.
Again.
I was thinking about their arms, Glenn.
Oh, their arms.
You know,
I might have been thinking
about myself as well, yeah. But still, I was thinking about their arms and how they're able to just reset and just sort of go away for a couple days and not pick up a ball.
Man, you're thinking about you, Lou, I think.
And myself.
Just, yeah, just transforming it into the player. The thing with David Price is we've said it all along. terrific pitcher. He's been great in the regular season this year. It's the pressure that gets to him in the playoffs. If he's ever going to do anything in the playoffs, isn't this it? I mean, using Lou's strategy of, you know, having the 3 days may be an advantage for a guy like him, but more importantly, what pressure is there? Everybody is loose. You've taken two already in Houston, okay? You don't have to win this game. You don't have to win Saturday's game. You might have to win Sunday's game.
It really would be nice, though. We're talking about pressure. Like something that something just like this could just put you right back in favor.
There
right?
is no pressure.
I know. That's
how do we come back tomorrow now, and if he loses or he struggles in this game and sit there and say, oh, my God, Price can't do it with pressure. What pressure?
Tell me how you feel.
Internal pressure. And by the way, all those people that say you pick on Price, but you won't talk about Kershaw.
And we're not going to do the comparison.
Kershaw's been
again.
Talk good. About Kershaw. Kershaw's been good in the postseason.
Stop with the Kershaw. Does Kershaw go out and give it up? Yes. And it usually follows eight innings scoreless. Or it's followed up by another seven innings, one run. Like, don't even start going there with, you guys ride Price, but nobody ever brings up Kershaw. He struggles in the postseason. He throws, like, two gems, gets lit, throws another gem, gets lit, throws another gem. I mean, is he consistent? No. There's a lot more gems in there.
Yeah, I don't know what we say about David Price if he can't go out there and give you a solid effort tonight, because there really is no great pressure.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.